Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jocum. Frenchie is here. It is our last race review of 2022 on the IndyCar side. Before we get to what's probably everybody's burning question on my Airbnb adventures this weekend, I am alive today thanks to our friends at Java House Coffee, who will be part of the show in next year as well. And like I said, I will record an episode from there this off season. We'll start doing YouTube again. But if you're not in Indy, they have five locations locally, two in Carmel, one up in Noblesville, I think, one downtown, and then one in Broad Ripple. Go to javahouse.com and use promo code PITLANE10, get 10% off all of your orders. Thank you very much. So I'm going to try to make this quick because and at this point there's still some things to figure out with Airbnb, but and I
Pent up
pent
rage.
up lots of pent up rage. And well, let's see, where do we start? So I was just landing in Monterey, and I had texted the person who booked the Airbnb, who I have not made fun of publicly yet. But it was good friend Kevin DeJewski. Kevin texts me and he says, "So there's a few problems with the place." I'm like, "Okay, what's up?" Because the air conditioning doesn't work. And the other bed, which is like a futon, is a rock. I'm like, "That's fine. I mean, you know me, I could sleep anywhere." So I said, does Airbnb, does the listing have air conditioning as like one of the like features?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Okay, you should tell them." He did. Their response was, "Well, most places don't have air conditioning near here." Not sorry, not I'll get you a fan, not oh man, let me go look at that. Just eh. Sucks for you. So whatever.
That's Airbnb support, or that's the owner?
That's the owner.
Okay.
So that night I slept on the futon. It was awful. You couldn't move, but made it work. Friday, we get back from the track. It's like a sauna in there because it's just so humid. It's not like that it was super hot, it's just so humid. It was uncomfortable to sit in there. We had to open all the windows, the door, just to like hang out comfortably. Friday night, I decide, I can't do this futon again. My back is killing me. I get three extra blankets and the extra comforter, the two extra pillows. And I essentially make myself into a sleeping bag sort of arrangement on the floor. We pass out like 8:30, I don't know, around midnight. So the Airbnb was like a side unit attached to the main house. So we at the time weren't sure if it was the owners or other renters. They start partying, and not just like, we can hear them once in a while. It is like a goddamn nightclub next door. Music blaring. There is woos going, there is people shouting. So I sleep for maybe 3 hours Friday night. Saturday, like I'm miserable at the track. I go through an obscene amount of caffeine. Saturday night, I'm like, all right, gonna sleep on the floor again, fall asleep at like I was having trouble falling asleep, and then the partying starts again. And not only does the party start again, somebody walks through the and I can see them like in the driveway because our window was right there, and they went, "I don't even care if we get a bad review," which leads me to believe that it was the owner, because then we messaged the Airbnb app, "Hey, can you tell the people next door, whoever it is," like we played dumb, like we weren't sure, to turn down the music. Never got a reply again after that. Didn't even reply to that. So Saturday night they're partying. It's now 2:30, 2:20, 2:30 in the morning Pacific time. I'm still not asleep. So I call the local police department. And I'm like, "Hey, is there any way you can get them to turn off the music? I don't want to go over there." Had to be at least 20 people next door. And to their credit, the Monterey Police Department or Seaside Police Department showed up in 5 minutes. They shut off the music. What do they do instead? Shout even louder. So
Because they
front
knew that you were the ones that called.
No, I just think they were just assholes. Let's listen. We're gonna let a few words fly here. And so, you know, I maybe slept about 90 minutes that night, maybe 2 hours. So all in all, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, I sleep maybe 8 hours total at the most. I was supposed to do a couple road to indie interviews Sunday morning, and I was like, we'll do them this off season. I can barely hold my eyes open right now. That's not even the end of the, so Kevin and I, or Kevin wrote a novel of a complaint to Airbnb. And when you complain to Airbnb about the host has an hour to reply before it goes to Airbnb support. Obviously, the host did not reply. So we requested a full refund. As of recording, midday Tuesday right now, don't have an actual answer for you in terms of what's next. But I'm guessing they haven't heard from him either, if it's been 48 hours since we complained. But yeah, and to make matters even more fun, my 3-hour layover turned into a 5.5-hour layover in Dallas yesterday. And then when I was getting off the plane, there was a very large, had to be like 6'6", dude getting arrested and having a complete breakdown. I ended up getting body checked by security when they were trying to get back to where he was trying to run away to. So I have never been more excited to be home. And then I have to go back in the airport in 3 days. So I have, or now 2 days. So I have a little bit of airport travel PTSD right now.
Yeah. Are you regretting going out there for Laguna at this point, based on all that happened? I mean, did racing balance it out for you?
The actual door, when the race was going on, whether it was Indy Lights or IndyCar, I was happy and awake, met some great people this weekend, had a good time. When there was no racing on the track, I was a zombie. I mean, I'm still, I slept better last night than I've slept in the last couple of weeks. I was looking at like my sleep data on my Apple Watch, but think back to Long Beach. That's when I had my shouting match with the Lyft driver. California has not been kind to me this year.
Yeah, maybe you're just not supposed to use Airbnbs and Lyfts and stuff. You just have to go with like official taxis or rental and cars and hotels. Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's just more trustworthy, because when we stayed at that hotel for, was that Nashville? That was a pretty good experience.
Yeah. And so Sunday night, we were originally just going to rough it in the airport for a couple hours, because Kevin and I both had an early flight. We were both on the same flight to Dallas. We decided, you know what? We haven't slept. Let's just get a hotel. So we get this cheap hotel. It took 25 minutes to check in. There were some very sketchy characters around the hotel, but obviously we survived. So it's just like one thing after another. This trip was just, I mean, even getting off the airplane in Indy was an experience. So yeah.
What a way to finish out the season.
Yeah, obviously it's a good story, because
you're not going to want to travel again.
No, I've been talking for 8 minutes, and then I get to, excuse me, get to go to the airport in 2 days to see my family with my girlfriend. So, you know, that'll be fun. I just need to like repack again and get my brain in travel mode, and I'm still PTSD mode. So there was a race this weekend.
Sailing, so
yes, it will be smooth sailing. It'll be a lot of fun. There was a race this weekend. Now that I've rambled on for 9 minutes, Will Power is a champion. Frenchie, what'd you think of Laguna weekend from the TV perspective?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I was very impressed by Alex Palou's performance.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to watch Joseph Newgarden make all those passes going into the corkscrew. Those were extremely aggressive, and I was surprised he pulled all those off. But I mean, it was a good race, and I think Will Power is definitely a deserving champion. I mean, you can make the argument that Joseph Newgarden has significantly more wins, but when you break down the data of how consistent Power was all season, I mean, I think he deserves it.
I think this was
a great run, even though he has one win.
Yeah, sorry. This is his 9th podium of the year, or 10th podium of the year. Only had one win. And think about it, and I think somebody in one of the PLP groups pointed this out, and I don't remember who it was, so I'm sorry, you can give yourself credit on Twitter, that if Detroit was one lap longer, Power probably wouldn't have won and would have won the championship with no wins, which is okay. I don't have an issue with it. When you have 11, you know, 10 podiums or 9 podiums or whatever it was, you deserve it.
The Penske dominance this season was nuts.
Yeah, 9 wins in 17 races. Chevy had 14 poles in 17 races, I think it was. So Chevy was clearly yeah, found something this last off season. So it is now Honda's turn to find something. Although, you know, I don't know how much you can quote unquote find when you're only tentatively running this engine package for another year or two at the most. So
now it'll get pushed back again to like 2030.
I know. We'll save that for an off-season rant. We'll try to keep this race specific at this point. Not much actually happened
for jokes this weekend.
No jokes.
After this weekend, yeah, your face when I said that was just like, no, I can't deal with this right now.
I just can't process. I can't process anything right now. I have already had 2 cups of coffee this morning, but I don't know. Is there anything? Not much happened in the race. Jimmy Johnson got a penalty for punting Dalton, but I mean, props to Jimmy. He dropped all the way to 26th and finished 16th. So he you know, for him that was a good road course day. Other than that one mistake, and he had a practice incident where he spun and caused a red flag. But I mean, not a bad weekend for Jimmy. It's pretty good, I think. Obviously, Carvana said, you know, we'll be back, or he said that Carvana said that, you know, they'll follow me around with whatever I want to do next year. So it's pretty open-ended in terms of that. But if we see him on road courses next year, I'm not going to say he's maybe top 10 material, but I think he'll be more consistent. Then again, I could be wrong. So I think this was one of his better road course efforts this year, at least. Alex
didn't
Pillow.
Dalton fall off the track twice like before Jimmy punted him? Yeah, okay. So
no,
I don't think it really affected Dalton's race.
No, I think it was after the Jimmy. Jimmy was the first time he had an issue, and then it was two times after. Anyway, yeah. Pillow, like you mentioned, dominated, had a fresh engine, didn't have to tune it down the last for 4 races. So, I mean, you really saw what an IndyCar engine can do on Sunday when it's not tuned to last, you know, 2,000 miles or whatever it is. He put on a clinic, won by 30 seconds. Joseph Newgarden really nailed that strategy starting 25th, didn't he?
Yeah, that was, I mean, if Will Power wasn't as consistent as he was, that was a championship drive from Joseph Newgarden. But because Dixon and Erickson didn't really do what they would have needed to do. So if Power wasn't in the championship, Newgarden would have just nailed that, even starting from 25th.
Yeah, and I think the yellow flag timing helped Newgarden get to where Will Power was strategy-wise. But, I mean, he was up in the top 6 really quick on Sunday afternoon. So that was good, because that qualifying mistake, that was one of the worst Joseph Newgarden mistakes we've seen. Like you know, if you hit that one yellow curb, you're spinning. We saw it a couple times previously, but the drivers all know that. Will Power said in one of the press conferences this weekend, you know you can't hit that one. So that, not necessarily a championship defining mistake, because there were other things that happened to Newgarden this year.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
You know, you could say coulda, shoulda, woulda, and it is what it is. But all in all, super impressive performance. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I guess the Rookie of the Year battle came down to a set of used reds that, I mean, the used reds on Sunday just did not work. Malukas, you know, David made them last 10 laps. Other guys made them last 7 or 8 laps. And I think that really flipped the strategy, because then when the caution came out, Malukas was only 12 or 13 laps into his first stint on blacks and, you know, pit, and then was just kind of running behind Christian Lundgaard the rest of the day. So props to Lundgaard for winning Rookie of the Year. He really did, especially the last two-thirds of the year, have a really strong season overall. So good to see. He'll definitely be back with Ray Hall next year, as I tweeted about this weekend. And, you know, I know David will be back in IndyCar, probably with DCR and HMD, so that'll be really cool to continue that with year two. Anything else we're missing from this weekend? Alex Rossi's last race with Andretti didn't necessarily go as planned. Finished 10th. Scott Dixon finished 12th. That's only the second race this year that Scott Dixon didn't finish in the top 10. Another, you know, consistent. Him and Power finished all 100% of the laps, however many laps there were this year. Power is only the second guy to lead all of the laps, or lead all of the laps, that would be impressive, finish all of the laps and win a championship. And he's the first person to have a single win and win the championship since Tony Stewart in 97, 96?
Yeah, I think that's 97, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. But how many races was that season? Was that like a 5-race season? I'm going to look it up, because that was early IRL days.
Yeah, I don't remember. Also, props to Devlin Francesco for finishing 15th, I think. He had a pretty solid day. Other than that, Pato O'Ward's late strategy gamble backfired, didn't help. I mean, he wasn't in the championship.
It's a longer season.
Oh, was it? How many races?
It was 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So definitely not as long as we have now, but
sure. Not 10 a 5-race here.
Races, and he beat Davey Hamilton by 6 points to the championship.
Okay. All right. I think our disappointment of the weekend, unfortunately, has to be good buddy Jack Harvey. Yeah, Lundgaard finished 5th. Graham Rahal is 18th. I don't know. Oh, he had to massively fuel save the last third of the race there, so I think that dropped him back. But the Rahal car showed pace this weekend. The Rahal car showed significant improvement the last third of the year, as everybody's mentioned after the Sebring test, and Jack just didn't have it again this weekend. And it's such a bummer.
Wow, he only finished in the top 10 once this season?
Really?
Yeah, and that was at Nashville. Everything else was outside the top 10.
Boy.
Wow, yeah. His championship, or his season has... I mean, I know switching from Meyer Shank is probably a big change, but I expected a lot more from him, and hopefully we get to see him have another chance, because I'm sure this is not what he was expecting, or Rahal.
Yeah, and I guess our last kind of person I wanted to bring up, and then we can look at predictions if you have that written down.
Yeah, I did.
Is Callum Ilott qualified 2nd, put on a mega performance, was looking like he would probably have finished top 5, top 6, probably, depending on how everything shook out at the end, and then, you know, had that engine failure where he got stuck on track, and we won't dive too deep into it this week, but we will. It will be an off-season topic. Is the way how they left the pits open for almost an entire lap. The only thing I'll say, I mean, A, they're consistent about it. I still don't like it. B, a few people said to me where Ilott was, despite being kind of at pit out, you know, sort of kind of on the track, was not a dangerous enough spot that IndyCar felt it was warranted. Make of that what you will, but I heard that from two people Sunday post-race. So I guess it's not the biggest deal, but I think I'm still not a big fan of that rule. I just wish it kind of takes out the strategy of, am I pitting at the right time or am I about to get dropped to the back of the field because I, you know, tried to get greedy and stay out there. Like I did enjoy that element of pit strategy in IndyCar.
I agree. I think it, in a way of not calling the yellow flag, it almost manipulates the results in the other way. Some people would argue that it's manipulating the results by calling the yellow flag right when something happens, but I think this is artificially keeping the race as it was when it really shouldn't have been, because an event happened that the teams wouldn't have predicted and would have changed the race for all of them.
Yeah, definitely agree. I think that's pretty much it. Obviously, we'll have plenty of topics to cover throughout the offseason, mainly because my brain is tired. We're going to go to predictions. I don't think there was any news that came out in Laguna. David Malukas will be back.
Did
he
mention
on
Juncos' second car?
Oh, we didn't. Juncos has a second car next year, number 78. Out. No, it came out the day after we recorded.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So, you know, that
who's in that car, you think? Any guesses?
We'll save guesses for when I have more brain capacity than I do this week.
Okay, so not Juan Pablo Montoya.
Not Juan Pablo Montoya, no. I don't think it's going to be Dan. It's also not going to be Danica Patrick.
Oh, wow, that's even more off the wall. I love it.
Yeah. And it probably...
Kyle Busch?
It probably won't be Kyle Busch. Although if they end up not running that second car for the full season, that would be a great Chevy spot for him for the 500. Just saying.
Exactly. Speculation abounds.
Yeah, let's get all rumor milly here and start making up our own rumors this offseason. Also, I don't think rumor milly is a word, but we're going to go with it this week, and where did our predictions end up?
You win again.
Yes.
So I won actually the IndyCar Open Wheel Challenge for the first time. I won the Laguna Seca event, but I don't pick the same drivers for this.
Yeah.
So I can cover myself of having one or the other where I do well, and it tends to always be my predictions on the podcast that fail me. I picked Pato, who finished 8th. Not bad, right? Will Power, who finished 3rd and won the championship. But then I had Callum, who finished 26th and really tanked me, unfortunately, but that wasn't his fault. So my average finish was 12.3. You had Dixon, who was 12th, Rossi 10th, and then Grosjean 7th, so you had 9.6. You're in the top 10 again. I feel like this 9.6 number keeps popping up for you.
Yeah, too bad it's not flipped.
Nice.
So I think that's, yeah, like you mentioned, the Juncos news. I think, you know, from what I heard at the track, there's probably another driver or two that raced this year that will not be on their current team next year. We'll leave that up to speculation.
And rumor mill again.
Rumor mill. Let's rumor mill it up. I think that's it.
It's going to be a new section of the show.
Rumor mill city, September 13th. Yeah. So that is it for IndyCar race reviews. Like I mentioned a couple minutes ago, Mr. Malukas will be on in the next couple weeks. We're giving him a little time to decompress after the season. I did talk to him earlier this morning, just kind of chit-chatting and whatnot, and talked about Sunday and the season. And so he's in good spirits. I know it didn't necessarily go his way, but still an impressive season from, you know, a smaller DCR program. And next week we'll do our season award show that we'll make up on the fly. And that's about it. Let's keep this one short this week. I'm tired. So everybody,
okay,
have a lovely weekend of racing. Oh, there's no racing this weekend unless you like NASCAR. So have a lovely weekend if you're watching NASCAR.
Of nothing.
Of hanging out. I'm going to have a lovely weekend.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.